and standing if you will, and turn in your Bibles to John chapter number 4, as we stated already. Thank God for that firm foundation of the Word of God. Amen. A foundation on which we can stand. Amen. We can cast all our cares upon Him because we know His Word is true. He careth for you. Amen. And I'm glad we can have that foundation, that firmness there. Amen. John chapter number 4, and I'm going to begin reading this morning from verse number 15. John chapter 4. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and start with verse number 1, and we'll just read down through that. It won't hurt us to have a little extra reading this morning. I'll not be real, real long, Lord willing. I don't think that I will, but we'll try to mind the Lord. Verse number 1, so you get the context. Wherefore, or when, therefore, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Those are the verses we read previously and preached on the thought, quenching the thirsty soul. This morning I want to start with verse 15 and read on through verse 26 and preach the second part of that thought, quenching the thirsty soul. Verse number 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem or at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this time. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we're so thankful again today for Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that you came into the world to save sinners. I'm sure we all feel like we're the chief of the sinners.
Yes.
That you died for us and gave your life a ransom for us.
Thank you, Lord.
I pray that you
Help us, Lord Jesus. Yes.
Help us and strengthen us. Thank you for the firm foundation.
Yes, Lord.
That you've given us, Lord, as we follow this thing. How firm is that?
Thank you, Lord.
It shall stand.
Thank you, Lord.
Difficulties of life. Thank you that you'll always be there. Give us praises for it now. Bless us. Help us. Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. I'm appreciative of how the Lord seems to have orchestrated the service and put. I don't think songs were a mistake. I don't think that you being here is a mistake. I don't think that the text this morning is a mistake. I do believe that it is in the providential will of God and, as we might say, the perfect will of God. Amen. Now, for our sermon today, I want to return to this text that we used. As I said, we looked at verses 1 through 14 in a prior message, but the thought of the Samaritan woman, we say sometimes the woman at the well, the woman at Jacob's well. I found it interesting when I read in this, even just a minute ago, I saw it again, that it was in that verse number 5, look back at it if you will, then he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So this property belonged to Joseph, but it's not called Joseph's well, because Joseph didn't own it originally. Jacob owned that piece of property, and Jacob dug the well. So it's called Jacob's well. Excuse me. And we look at this thought and becomes familiar to us in that frame of mind that this is Jacob's well. I'm glad that the Word of God, although it's passed down and gone from year to year and along even to the point that we're at today, I'm glad that these words that you hear, they're not my words. They're not the words of some Baptist preacher. These are the words of God, because God instituted these words. Just as Jacob found that well, Jacob got water from that well, and you can get water from that well this morning. Amen. We can get help from the Word of God even this morning. Amen. And so we looked, as I said, in that most recent sermon there a couple of weeks ago now on a Sunday morning, at these first 14 verses, and I tried to give you some pertinent comments as we went along. Let me just rehearse just a couple of them. I won't go into detail. But I noticed, first of all, that the prior chapter, chapter number 3, deals with Jesus in a one-on-one conversation with a man. He's a religious man. But he's one-on-one in a conversation with a man, and that conversation is about salvation. Ye must be born again. In this chapter, he's in a one-on-one conversation with a woman. She's not, in a sense, she's a religious woman, but it's a rebellious religion. And so I'll say she's a rebellious woman. Matter of fact, I mean, she's had 5 husbands. Couldn't stay with any of them, or they couldn't stay with her. I don't know who was the fault. I don't, but personally, I doubt she found 5 duds. I'd say there's another dud in there somewhere along the line. Amen. But here's another man that she's in with now that she's not even made vows with, and she's in a relationship with him. And so she's obviously a rebellious woman. And yet Jesus, in that one-on-one conversation, is talking to her and centering that conversation around salvation. You're hungry. You're thirsty. You're in need of something down in your soul. And so I'm glad our Lord is interested in men, and He's interested in women. Amen. He's interested in saving whosoever will. He's interested in and is seeking to save that which is lost. Now, one of these was a Jew, chapter 3. The other is a Samaritan, a mixed race people, an offscouring of the world. The Jews didn't even like to look at them. And yet Jesus didn't look down his nose at her. Neither did he look down his nose at the Jew, although the world tends to look down the nose at the Jew. Amen. And yet our Lord looked at these, the man and the woman, with eyes of compassion and eyes of mercy, thank God, and was willing to deal with them. I'm glad Jesus is not just interested in saving multitudes, but I'm glad He's interested in one-on-one conversations with individuals, amen, that'll come to God by Him. Even when groups of people get saved, He saves them one at a time. It's a one-on-one approach, if I could say. You must approach God or Christ individually for help, amen, for yourself, or whether you be himself or herself, you need that, approach him. Now, I mentioned that Nicodemus was a religious man, and yet his religion was not enough. Here's a woman that, in a sense, has a religion. We'll see some of that as we come along. And yet she finds that her religion is not enough. What you need is more than religion. You need a relationship. You talk to people and you ask them, are you a Christian? Well, yes, I'm a Baptist. Or yes, I'm a, you know, they name whatever. I'm of such and such faith, they'll say. They'll name something that they believe is their, that's their religion. I go to such and such church. Sometimes that's what they'll say. Our Lord is not just looking, and church attendance is great, wonderful, and fine, and ought to be. Amen. I believe being a Baptist, I think that's important. I'd be something else. I do believe that's important. Amen. But I'm saying that's not of the utmost importance. The utmost importance is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That you know God the Father by coming through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus makes an appointment with this woman at the well. It appears to me that Nicodemus came seeking him in the night. But in this case, Jesus was seeking her at the well. Amen. Amen. As we considered the conversation our Lord had with this woman of Samaria in those first 14 verses, we noticed that Jesus prompted the conversation. He started the talk. Amen. He started the talk. By the way, I grew up in a time when girls didn't call the guys called the girls. Amen. Now we're living in a time when everybody's a guy, whether you're a girl or a man. That's right. It amazes me. Waitresses used to call everybody honey, and I'm not necessarily for that, but now it's always guys, you guys. It could be three women and one man, and they're all guys. Amen. But when I was a boy, a guy was a male. Amen.
Amen.
And the men, if I could say it this way, the boys chase the girls, not the girls chasing the boys. Amen.
Right.
But we've turned all that around and things that I think it's gotten upset at. But our Lord still followed by that, if you say chivalry, that type of mentality. And that is, He always, whether it's male or female, He always takes the initiative. Amen. He is looking for the sinner and He starts the conversation, whether you realize it or not. You might say, well, preacher, when I got saved, I was seeking God with all my heart. And thank God, I believe you must get to that point before you'll get saved. But whether you realize it or not, He was looking for you before you ever started looking for Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, our Lord started this conversation and He steered it in a direction to make it evident to this woman of her innate desire, her emptiness on the inside, that desire for satisfaction, such satisfaction that could only come in the spiritual realm. Amen. And so I said to you, the thought came to me when she said to him, and I'll paraphrase it, what are you doing talking to me, seeing I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew? It's like she said, why are you stooping so low, being a Jew, to talk to me? But I pointed out to you, she didn't realize how low he was stooping. Amen. Because this was not just a Jew. This is not just a man. This is the Son of God. This is God Himself that has chosen to stoop down, if you could say it, from His throne in grace to be sitting not on the throne, but on Jacob's well, that He might deal with some sinner with the gospel. Amen. She did not realize how low he was stooping. Amen. Jesus referenced living water. She sees that He doesn't have a rope and He doesn't have a bucket. And she says, how are you going to get water out of the well? She's still thinking in the physical realm. How are you going to get water out of the well when you have no rope and you have no bucket? And so she immediately goes to the next step, which is where He was directing her, by the way, to recognize He means more than just water. His words mean more than just water. Life. When He talks about, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That word life means more than just being alive. It's talking about everlasting life. It's talking about abounding and abundant life. Amen. The eternal life that God offers through the Lord Jesus Christ. So these words that He uses have a deeper meaning than she has come to understand. And so she recognizes he must be more. If his words mean more than meets the ear, then he must be more than meets the eye. And so she says to him, are you greater than our father, Jacob? And I said, I sort of chuckle when I read that, is he greater? My, is he greater? He's so far greater than Jacob was, or than her fathers were. Amen. So she realizes that he must be speaking about something more, something greater, and that gets her looking in the right direction. Now that brings us to where we're at in verse number 15. And he, after she's asked him about that, art thou greater, verse 12, then he answers, and he goes in that discourse about, if you drink physical water, you're going to get thirsty again. But if you drink the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst, because that water that I give you will be in you a well itself. Amen. Somebody wrote a song and said, I asked him for water and he gave me the well. Amen. He gave me more than a cup full. He gave me more than a bucket full. He gave me rivers of water running down in my soul. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that is true. And so then verse number 15, she responds. And we'll look at these verse by verse for a moment. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. That's pretty good. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So apparently she's still thinking of physical water, because she said, so I don't have to come back to this well. She's still thinking about water out of this well. Sir, give me this water, the water you're talking about, that I won't be thirsty again. Because it was a shame to her. I believe the reason she came out at the noontime, the reason she came out at the inopportune time, was because she was ashamed to have to approach that well. By the way, that's why sinners don't like to be in the house of God, is because there is a certain amount of shame involved in recognizing and acknowledging that I'm a sinner. Amen. There's a certain shame acknowledging that I don't fit in, and there's something missing in my life. Amen. So she said, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's still thinking about physical water. Still thinking about a physical thirst. She's still thinking about a physical well. But she's made a big step here. She's acknowledged that she does not have the water that he's talking about. She don't understand all of what he's talking about, but she knows she doesn't have it. Amen. How many times have you heard somebody give the testimony and say, I realized I didn't have what that person had. I didn't understand what they had. I didn't necessarily know if I wanted it or not, but I knew I didn't have what they had. Well, here she's made that big step of realizing that she does not have what he's talking about. She doesn't understand what he's talking about. And so now, what does she do? She makes a request of him. Look at it again, verse number 15. Then saith the woman unto him, sir, give me this water. Now that's not a demand. Although, depending on the tone of voice that you read that, you could read that as a demand, but I don't think it's a demand. It's a request. Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She requests for him to give her that which he speaks of. Amen. In a sense, this is a prayer. This is a prayer request. She is actually saying to him, I need what you're talking about. I don't understand what you're talking about, but I know I need it. Now, here's what's interesting to me. Brother Hall, I got to think about how many times we pray, just like this woman prayed, with insufficient knowledge. She didn't know what she was asking for. And a lot of times we pray, we don't know what we ought to pray for. That's what the Bible says. We don't know how to pray as we ought. Amen. We come to God, we think we know. I mean, in our mind, we got it all mapped out, figured out this is how God ought to do it. But that's not necessarily how God's going to do it. Amen. A lot of times God works in another way. You're wanting some smooth sailing, so in order to get to smooth sailing, God's going to put you right in the midst of a storm. Amen. You say, I don't understand that. I don't either. But God knows. But here's what I thought. She makes a request with insufficient knowledge. She don't know. By the way, when sinners come forward, he don't understand all about redemption and justification and sanctification. He don't understand maybe all about repentance and acknowledgement. They don't understand a lot of those terms and words. But they can come seeking. They can come asking. And if they'll do like this woman, they're asking the right person. Amen. She saith unto him. I like that. Here's about, look at verse 15, just that phrase. And the woman saith unto him. Look down at verse number 19. The woman saith unto him. Verse number 25. The woman saith unto him. She didn't get diverted. She didn't get detoured. She didn't get distracted. Amen. She kept her focus on him. Can I say to you that if you're unsaved, the greatest thing you can do is look to him. Look to him. Quit looking at everybody else. Quit looking at those that fail. Quit looking at those that are wrong. And start looking to him for your help. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I read this. I thought it made a lot of sense. This man was talking about the argument people make. He said he'd heard sinners, he'd had sinners do this personally with him. He would be talking to them about their soul, and they'd say, listen, you've got enough discrepancies in your own family. Don't be talking to me about religion. And here's what they said. They said, you've got Baptists, and you've got Protestants. You've got Catholics, and you've got Jews. And you've got, but even in under the quote-unquote umbrella of Christianity, you've got all these different ideas and even some totally different religions that want to be under the umbrella of Christian, and they say, I don't even believe there is a God because you can't all agree. Here's what the man said. He said, if we pulled out our watch, just because every one of them's second hand was not pointing at the same direction, does not mean that time does not exist. There is a sun in our universe that controls and orders our time. That's what it's based on. Our time is based on the sun. Amen. Used to be the sundial. Amen. But they still, the chronology and all how that time, the idea of time is based on the sun. I'm glad the S-O-N is what everything's based on. And it doesn't matter which direction others are pointing. Don't look at everybody else's directions. Look at him and you'll see what's real. Amen. I thought that's pretty good. So she makes a prayer request with insufficient knowledge, as we so often do. Our God knows what we have need of. Even when we're not aware. Even before we ask, he said. Amen. He knows what we need. Amen. Look at verse number 16. Then Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come thither or hither. Almost looks like there's a change of direction here, although I don't think there is. I think I can see the direction as it goes. It's not the case of Jesus wishing to change the subject on this woman. It's not the case of Jesus being mean to this woman. He knew her case. He's not being mean to her to bring up her past. By the way, he does not, listen to me carefully, he does not just bring up her past. He says, you have had five husbands. That's past. But he said, even right now, even at the present time, you're not right. Matter of fact, if you could say it, and I believe you could see it in that text, in that context, he's saying, you was wrong back yonder, but you're even more wrong now. You was lost back yonder, you're even more hopelessly lost right now. Amen. And you see the state that you're in. And so Jesus was not being mean to her. Rather, he's directing her thoughts, because God doesn't save you without using your intellect, by the way. Amen. You don't just stupidly come to Christ.
Right.
Amen. God works in your mind. God speaks to your heart through your mind. And He draws you to Him. And so He enlightens the mind. He opens the eyes of the mind. He removes the darkness that has blinded the minds of them, He talks about. Amen.
Right.
And so he speaks to that mind, and he said he's directing her thoughts in the proper direction, amen. And he's trying to get her to the place that she might realize her need and she might notice what his offer is, by the way, amen. She asked him in the previous verse, and of course, again, I'm going to paraphrase it, because this is the way I see it. She says, it's as if I can read in that, Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. The water you're talking about is beyond me. The life you're talking about is beyond. I don't understand how can these things be. And so he doesn't go through A, B, C and say, this is how it can be. This is what he says. He says, keep looking at me. Keep trusting me and be honest with yourself about where you are. Amen. His answer to her request was certainly not what she expected. Amen. So often God does answer our prayers, but he does not answer them in the way we expected that he would. Look at verse 17 and 18. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. If she could leave it there, she'd be happy. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. Amen. In that saidest thou truly. Her answer, he said it's the truth as far as it went. That's what he said. In that saidest thou truly. Her answer was true on its face, but it was trying to mask what was behind. It was trying to mask really where it right now was. She did not currently have a husband in reality. She was not living with a husband. Amen. That doesn't mean that God had forgotten them. It doesn't mean that God wasn't counting them. He did. Amen. But she's not currently living with a husband that she could go get him and bring him as the Lord had asked. Now, here's what I noticed about that, and I think it's pretty good. She has evaded, swerved around the truth of her greatest need. Amen. She has swerved around her past failures. She is trying to ignore her present sinful lifestyle. Amen. By the way, let me just plug this. If it was wrong to shack up 2,000 years ago when Jesus talked to that woman at the well, it's wrong to shack up in 2018. I don't care what common law says. I don't care what society says. I don't care what grandma says, mama says, daddy. I don't care what any of them says. If it was wrong then, and it was, it's still wrong today. Amen. Our Lord brought forth that truth, not allowing her to hide what was in her past and not allowing her to evade or ignore what was in her present. He pointed to both of them. He touched both of her wounds, if you could say it that way. And by the way, I believe that is an important note. When we pray to God, we got to come clean with God. Amen. When we come to God, if we want Him to answer our prayer, we got to be honest with God. Amen. Amen. When Jesus begins to answer our prayers, He will answer with truth, even if it's painful. Amen. We'll have to deal with our sins. We'll have to deal with our failures. We'll have to bring them out to the light if we expect God to hear our prayers. Amen. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart. I know that word regard has a double meaning. One idea, regard, is I show respect to. I show honor. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I honor my sin more than I honor God, God's not going to hear me. There's another idea of regard. If I try to cover it up, if I try to keep it hidden from sight, God's not going to hear me. We've got to come clean with God. Amen. Now, you might be wondering, why did our Lord Jesus use this approach? I believe this is a foundational, fundamental belief in my belief system. I believe that's the only way He could get her to live in water. Here, listen to me and listen well. I believe every sinner, I'll say it again, every sinner must acknowledge their sin before they'll ever find living water. Amen. It's not that you've got to name them all and you've got to count them all. No, but it's you've got to acknowledge I am a sinner. There's things in my past that are wrong. There are things in my present that are wrong. I am wrong. It's not just I have done wrong. I am wrong. Amen. One of the problems with people today, they want to argue. They want to argue with you. They want to argue with God. They're not wrong. They're not wrong. They're not wrong. They'll never admit they're wrong. And they'll never get right when they're arguing that they're not wrong. Amen. Our Lord brought her to this place because it's the only way He could ever get her to the living water that He's going to offer her. You've got to come face to face with your own sinfulness before you can ever hope to have eternal life. Amen. Jesus makes the soul of the sinner aware of the sinfulness of that soul. Amen. Only a convicted sinner will appeal to God for mercy. Amen. Amen. I wrote it this way. I believe this is right. Only those eyes that have been opened to their sin can look to Christ for pardon and forgiveness of that sin. Amen. The sinner must come to Christ humbly and honestly. There's no other way. When Jesus brought this woman, He brought her sin to her remembrance. I don't know if she'd ever forgotten it. I don't know if she ever lived today. I don't know if she ever went to that well without remembering what she was, what she had done, and how she was living. But Jesus brought it painfully to her remembrance that day. Again, He did not do that to hurt her. But He did do that. Well, in a sense He did. Because He wanted to bring her to a place of shame. He wanted to bring her to a place of sorrow for her failures and for her follies and for the foolishness in the way she lived her life. And by the way, that is the only way that brings a revelation of the Son. Amen. She immediately sees herself as she really is, rather than the way she sought to reveal herself, or maybe the way she sought to conceal herself. She recognizes that Jesus is more than meets the eye. Look at the next verse, verse 19 and 20. We'll read them together. Verse 19. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know what she said? I can see something now that I didn't see at first glance when I saw you sitting on the well. I can see something that I didn't see before you started talking to me. I can see something that I didn't see when, if I could say it this way. I can see something now that I didn't see when I came into the building. Right. You ever been there? Amen. When the Lord starts speaking to you, you're sitting on the pew going about your business. Maybe you're on the job going about your business, but the Holy Ghost starts speaking to you. You hear the words of the Savior. You hear the voice of the Savior. You recognize the pleadings of the Savior. All of a sudden you can see something you previously did not see. Amen. She says, I perceive thou art a prophet. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And I say to you that this man sitting on the well realizes he has obviously read all the secret chapters in her book of life. She knows he must be a prophet. This man is a man from God. She did not refute the truth that he stated. She didn't say, no, you're wrong. She acknowledged by leaving it unsaid. She acknowledged that he was right. She did not refute the truth that our Lord had spoken, even though it must have pained her to hear it, even though it must have pained her to recognize the truth. Instead of rejecting him, instead of running away from him, instead of running from her problems, as seems to have been her pattern over and over again. Divorce one, marry another. Divorce one, marry another. 5 times now, after the 5th one divorced, I'll just shack up and I just won't even marry him. She's had a pattern of running from her problems. This time, something different happens. She inquires into more in-depth about spiritual things. Amen. She starts talking about the proper place to worship. Amen. I've looked at this a lot of times, and to be honest with you, most of the time, the way I've looked at it, and I think there's the connotation there, is that she's changing the subject. I said it almost looks like Jesus is changing the subject when he moves from talking about living water to talk about go get your husband. But it looks almost like she's trying to change the subject. By the way, sinners will do that pretty regularly. When you start talking to them about Christ, they'll want to bring up something else, some other religious issue that's not of utmost importance. But I don't believe that's necessarily the case here. Amen. I believe she has asked for more information. Christ has given her more information. And now she is trying to process that information. And she's seeking for answers to spiritual things that plague her mind. Listen to this. Look at this woman. Look at it in this light. Here's a woman that is an outcast from Israel. The Jews hate her. They hate her kindred. They hate everything about her. They hate her whole nation. And yet they say the only way to be right with God is to come to Jerusalem. And they won't let her come to Jerusalem. They say the only way to be right with God is come to this place, one place that God has put His name in. By the way, Jesus didn't refute that. We'll get there in a minute. So here she realizes, you just told me all those secret things that I didn't want anybody to know. You've just brought my sin to my remembrance. Now how can I get rid of them? Where can I go to deal with my sin? What can I do to get out of this rut that I'm in? What can I do to have the water you're talking about? Where can I go? That's what she's saying. Where is the place that I ought to worship? Amen. Boy, that blessed my heart. Amen. When I realized she's looking for the place. Amen. She has now been convicted. She needs that living water. She knows she needs that living water. But where can she find it? Where can she go? The first... She looks here, well, she goes back to religion and she's heard first one thing and then another. She says, some people say Jerusalem's the only place. Our father said you can do it right here. But here's the important thing. She's asking the right person for the information that she needs.
Amen.
Amen. We say it sometimes. I don't say it a whole lot. I'll be honest with you, I try to be careful about saying it. But I understand the saying. Let me tell you. Sometimes it is said, if you need the Lord and you need some help, you can ask any of us preachers or any of these people that are saved, and we'll be glad to point you to Jesus. And by the way, that's not wrong in itself, but we're not necessarily the ones you need to be asking.
Right.
If you can ask Him, He can help you. Amen. Now, I'm willing to help you any way I can. Amen. If you are nervous and you're scared to walk down the aisle by yourself, somebody be glad to take you by the hand and walk with you down the aisle, if that's what it takes. Amen. But them walking with you ain't going to help you get saved. You got to deal with God one-on-one. You got to talk to Him one-on-one. It's not good enough just to repeat the words. It's not good enough just to follow the routine. You've got to talk to God. Deal with God one-on-one, you and Him. Amen. She's asking the right person when she's talking to the Lord Jesus. Amen. And I say to you, if you have questions about your soul, talk to Jesus about it. Amen. If you have questions about approaching to God, how to do it, where to go, you can get your answers by talking to Jesus. Call upon Him. Tell Him your troubles. Ask Him your questions. And trust Him for the answers. Amen. Look at verse 21 down through verse 24. I'm moving along. Verse 21 through 24. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me. By the way, if we stop right there is the answer. Woman, believe me. Don't necessarily believe what the Jews have said. Don't necessarily believe what your fathers have said. Believe me. All right? Woman, believe me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. Now he's talking about the Jews, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Our Lord's first response to this woman was, believe me. That is such good advice. It is possible that you've been misled by the traditions of your family. It is possible that you've been misled by the society in which you live. Amen. It is possible that you've been led incorrectly when you followed your emotions, when you followed your desires, when you followed your own lusts and wants and what you think you need. He says, lay all those things aside. Believe Jesus. Believe Jesus. There's where you'll find your answer. Look at verse number 22. Jesus plainly says to this woman, ye worship, you know not what. He didn't say where. She said, where can I go? He's saying to her, woman, it's not where to go, it's who to go to.
Amen.
You don't even know the God you worship. You don't know what it is. You've got religion, but you don't recognize religion's more, real salvation is more than just religion. It's not a what, it's a who. Amen. It's Jesus Christ that you need to know. And so he says, he exclaims to her, you cannot find the proper place to worship. Why? Listen, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been somewhere when you couldn't find the place you're supposed to be? What does that make you? That makes you lost. If you can't find the place you're supposed to be, you are lost. Jesus says to that woman, you're lost. Believe me. Believe me. Don't hide behind your religion. Don't hide behind these other things. Believe me. You are lost. He's bringing her to the place of recognizing her utter lostness. That's where a sinner has to get. Amen. Amen. She must recognize that. She must agree with the Savior about that. Then she must believe Him that He can guide her out of that darkness. That He can guide her out of that confusion and lostness. Amen. Now Jesus didn't duck her question. She said, our Father said this and ye, you're talking about the Jews, say that. He didn't duck her question. He answered it directly. He emphatically stated, not only is she wrong, but her ancestors were wrong too. He doesn't duck that issue. Right. Amen. Amen. He tells her they've been wrong for generations. What does he do? He doesn't uphold the Jewish religion or the Jewish tradition, but I'll tell you what he does uphold. He upholds Moses and the law. Amen. He didn't come to do away with it. He didn't come to sidetrack it. He came to fulfill it. Amen. He upholds Moses and the law, and he points her to this direction. It's as if he's saying, well, let me read you verse number 22 again. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, I want to ask you a question. Were the Jews saved? No. But their law told them where to look for salvation. Amen. They were trying to be saved by the law. By the way, nobody ever got saved by keeping the law. The law was not given to save you. The law was given to show you you was a sinner and to show you how to get to salvation. The law was to point to salvation. Amen. And so Jesus is upholding Moses and the law, and he's saying, this is the only prism that you can see the light of salvation through. Amen. It's the only way she could ever find salvation. I say, listen, friend, there's more truth in there than you can unpack. There's more truth in there than I can unpack. Amen. There's a lot tied in there. If anybody ever, listen to me, if anybody ever gets saved, they'll have to be led by the law of God's Word. They recognize God is right. They're not arguing with God. They're not trying to make lesser laws, change laws. They're saying, no, God's laws are right. I'm the one wrong. It's the only way they can ever find salvation. Amen. 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 They got to recognize the holiness and the righteousness of God. Salvation is not just you getting to have a good friend in the Lord. Amen. It's not bringing God down on our level. It's us recognizing God's so high and holy, and the only hope we've got is that He might lift us up. Amen. We're not going to bring Him down. We're going to have to ask Him to lift us up. We've got to see that we've sinned against a holy God. We've got to realize that God is just in judging our sin. And we've got to realize that God in His mercy has offered a sacrifice on whom the judgment has been poured out already, on whom the law is already condemned in our place. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. The only sacrifice acceptable to God's holiness and righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, next Jesus goes to speaking not only about the truth of the law. They don't only worship Him in truth, but they got to worship Him in spirit. So He goes to talk not only about the truth of the law, but He's talking about the spirit of the law. In other words, she must look deeper than just a place of worship. She's got to look deeper than just the principles, precepts, we might say. She's got to see the spirit. What's the meaning down in there? Because you see, I said earlier, it's not the place, it's the person. But can I tell you that Old Testament scripture not only shows us the place of worship, not only shows us the principles of worship, but it gives us the promises. Israel was given those precious promises, and that is the hope of salvation. Amen. That's the hope of salvation. Our Lord is saying to her, you don't understand, you don't even know what you're worshiping, but the Word of God is given that you might have hope. Amen. Now, this lady did not need to get hung up on the holy place of the temple in Jerusalem.
Right.
Amen. She didn't need to get sidetracked by the holy principles contained in the law. They only revealed her sinfulness, gave a shadow of the sacrifice that was needed. She needed to look in spirit to the promises, the holy promises that God had made. What are those promises? That He would raise up a deliverer, that He would bring a root out of dry ground, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. Those were the promises God had made to Israel, and that's the only way she'd find forgiveness, is to look to the Messiah, to look forward to the Messiah. That was her only hope. Amen. Can I say to you, that's the one reason, I say that is the reason why sinners need to hear the preaching of the Word of God, because the preaching of the Word of God reveals your sin and points to you the promises of God for salvation. Amen. Amen. Jesus starts revealing God as the Father. That's amazing to me. She says in verse 20, our fathers, talking about ancestors, worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship. There it is, the Father. That's the first time He's called that in her ears. He just got through talking to Nicodemus about needing to be born again. In order to be born, you need a father.
Right.
Amen. In order to be born, you need a father. And so Jesus is saying to this woman, the same idea. There's got to be a birth. In order for there to be a birth, there's got to be a father. And so He starts pointing to God as the Father. First there, in verse number 21, He mentions the Father as the one that is to be worshipped. He's the true God. Amen. God is interested in being recognized as a Father. Amen. He's not so much, again, I'll be careful with this, but He's not so much interested in the decorum of our worship. He's interested in the relationship. How do we approach Him? Amen. The decorum, I'll say, is of importance. It's not that it's of no importance, but relationship is of utmost importance. I ask you a question. You say, I worship God. Do you know Him as Father? Do you know Him as Father? You can admire Him as Creator. You can admire Him as the great architect of the universe. You can admire Him as the great artist of the world. You can admire Him a lot of different ways, but do you know Him as Father? That's what He wants.
Right.
Amen. Jesus says He's Father. Then in verse number 23, He doubles down on it. He says it twice in verse number 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Amen. You ever seen a child that has done wrong and they got to come to their daddy? I remember as a boy, if I'd do wrong when dad was at work, sometimes mom would whip us then and say, wait till your daddy gets home. And I knew that meant we was going to get another one when daddy got home. And we'd been taught, and by the way, I think it's good to teach your children to rejoice when daddy comes home. But there's a few times I didn't rejoice when daddy came home. There's a few times I thought that he was going to end my existence. You say, I thought he's going to beat me to death. I mean, there's a few times I think I thought that. At least I acted like I thought that. Amen. That he is going to just beat me. But you know what? Deep in my heart, I knew I could trust him. Even though I had made him sorry. Even though I had made him ashamed. Because this wasn't just some authority in my life. This was my Father.
Right.
When a child has done wrong, and they got to approach their father, they approach their father with that humility, because they know they've done wrong. They're sorry that they've disappointed him. They're sorry that they have dishonored him, and yet they know they can trust him, and so they'll come to him and accept whatever punishment he meets out, accept whatever law he lays down. They're ready to accept that because they know that in the end, that discipline that is not pleasant at the present time will yield peaceable fruit of righteousness down the road. Amen. They know things will get better after all that discipline is taken care of. Can I tell you, that's how God the Father wants to deal with sinners. He wants you to approach Him, admitting your sin, being sorry for it, ashamed of it, and yet trusting Him that He can take it and deal with it. And when it's all said and done, things will be better. Amen? Amen. Amen. Notice the closing words of verse 23. Jesus said, "The Father seeketh such to worship Him." He says, God the Father, if I can say, seeketh. God the Father is reaching His hand towards you. His hand is not reached in a clenched fist that He might sock you one. His hand is outreached in an embrace that He might pull you to Himself, that He might draw you closer to Himself and into His bosom. Amen. Jesus, in this text, is revealing the Father through the Son. Amen. Look at verse number 25. I'm almost done. Verse 25. The woman saith unto Him. Look at this now. Look at what her statement is. I know that Messiah cometh. That's, we'd say Messiah, the Christ, cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Her response was exactly what He intended. He just told her, don't belittle the law. Don't go against the law. But look through the law as a prism, that you don't just see the holy place, that you don't just see the holy principles, but look to the holy promises, because that's your only hope. Those promises was that God would send the Messiah. You know what she starts talking about? I know, I'm convinced, I'm assured of that Messiah is coming. I know that God has made a promise, and God's going to keep His promises. That's what she's saying. God wanted her to get to that place. Sinners come to God on assurance of God's Word. Not that God's getting a good deal when He saves me. No. It's not that I deserve to be saved. No. It's not that God is required to save me. No. But I'm believing the promises. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I can't find my way. But I'm believing the promises of God. Amen. And approach Him in belief. Amen. She says, I know. Amen. She has come to admit that all her hopes of knowing God is pinned on a person. That all her hopes of ever getting right with God is pinned on finally finding that right man. Not a man to marry, but that man that is looking for somebody to worship in spirit and in truth. The only way she'll ever worship the Father in spirit and in truth is to pin her promises on the Messiah. And she says to Him, really, that that's explicitly what she's leaning on. I know He's coming. Amen. Amen. Well, sinners are brought face to face with their sin. Amen. They're brought face to face with their sin so that they might long for deliverance. They're brought face to face with their ignorance so that they might seek assistance and instruction. And when they acknowledge their sin and they seek for assistance or instruction, then the revelation will come. Yes, verse number 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Amen. It's revealed. The clouds roll away. The sunlight beams in. And she sees Him for who she's been looking for her whole life. Praise God. I remember that Sunday morning, fifth Sunday in June 1974, as a little 8-year-old boy, when I made my way down the aisle of the Chestnut Grove Independent Baptist Church and called on God. I found Him to be everything that I'd heard that He might be. I found Him to be everything that I believed He would be. I found Him to be that firm foundation on which I could stand. Amen. He was ready to save when I would come seeking Him. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Can I say to you that that leaves no room for questions? Amen. That leaves no room for questions. If you'll read this, I'm not going to take the time to do it, but if you'll read this, the rest of this story, she does not ask another question of Jesus after He reveals Himself to her.
Right.
It looks, here, I thought about this, brother. It looks like the veil drops and the pail drops about the same time. Amen. She's not looking for water in a bucket no more. She's found the person that she's looking for. Amen. She's found that peace that she's been longing for. Amen. She realizes who He is. All her questions are answered in Him. Amen. Can I say to you, all your questions can be answered in Him. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Is Jesus speaking to you today? Are you troubled about your past? Do you stand guilty before God right now? Guilty before God. Will you seek to be reconciled to God by coming through the Lord Jesus Christ? It's the only hope. It's the only hope that you have. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You, Lord, for helping us in the message this morning. Our hearts rejoice when we think about how You did it for me. Lord, I rejoice that You did it for this woman at the well. I rejoice that You did it for these four young men that followed the Lord in believers' baptism last Sunday night. I rejoice that there's people here that have stood and give testimony that You've done it for them. But Lord, I rejoice that You're still willing. You're still willing to give that peace, that revelation to those that will acknowledge their sin, those that will admit their ignorance, and look for assistance and come to Jesus with all their questions. Father, I pray that happened this morning. I pray, dear God, You'd draw sinners over the radio and in our auditorium. Father, I pray You'd draw sinners. I pray, dear God, that You would enlighten sinners and that they'd find Jesus ready and able to save. Lord, help the saints to do just like these ladies sang in their song, that we might go tell about that water from the well. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing, and as we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, would you obey the Lord? If you need to come pray, the altar's open. We'd be glad to pray with you. We'd be glad to pray for you if you need to come while we sing.